The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a, what day is it? What day is it? Wednesday edition of the show. Hello, I'm your host, Mandy Connell. I know more than I don't know what day it is, but I know a lot of other things. Okay, to be clear, tons of other stuff that is not remotely involved with what day it is. I'm not a detail person. We've already talked about that. Dave the Intrepid is here. He's in his mind at the baseball stadium because the Rockies are going to kick us off at 1:30. Hopefully they can win a game. That'd be nice. They've been doing really well lately. Shocking. Dave made fun of me the other day. You were making fun of me the other day because I got excited because they had won a bunch of games and you openly mocked me off the air for being remotely excited. Okay.
I thought I openly mocked you on the air.
No, that was off the air, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Because I was excited that we were not last in our division. You know what? You got to find the little victories, people. It's the little victories.
You aspire to be just below mediocre. That's your aspiration.
What? I even looked at all the standings for the entire league, and we are solidly at the top of the bottom third. Okay?
That is exciting.
Say that again?
We're solidly at the top of the bottom third
of
the standings.
Right, okay.
We're not last.
We're not last?
I told Dave when I worked in Kentucky and we talked about things like, you know, national report cards on schools in Kentucky always is terrible. They're just terrible. Their school system is a nightmare. And our rallying cry was, thank God for Mississippi, because Mississippi's always at the bottom. So you know what? You got to grab the little victories where you can, Dave. Grab them. That's all I was trying to do.
I still love a day out at the ballpark. You can't beat it. I don't care if we're... I mean, it enhances it when you're in the midst of a pennant race. No question about it. But it's still love of the game.
You know, I haven't been to a game this year at all.
And you root for the home team and you have your Cracker Jacks and it's wonderful.
And if they don't win, it's a shame. Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff.
And it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, at least now, unless they change the rules, which is very possible these days. At the old ball game.
Anyway, Dragon's in for Coover, and he's going to do an excellent job. What does today's shirt say? It's a VCR tape. What?
It's an old cassette tape, a beta tape, and then one of the larger 5.5 floppy disks, and it just says, never forget.
Ah, yes. I can't forget, because right over there, just out of the screen, there's a box of giant floppy disks, because any minute those are going to come back, right?
Not the 3.25. We're talking like the 5.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I have the same shirt at home, except mine has a 78 RPM record.
I love it.
And it's carved in stone.
Never forget.
It's actually, you know, one of those old cowboy shirts with no collar kind of thing, you know, sketched on there with charcoal. Because there was no screen printing back then. Anyway, let me tell you what we are going to talk about. Let's start with the blog. The blog is not voluminous today, but I have really good topics to talk about, things, good stories that I want to talk about. So let's jump in and find it. You can get there by going to koanewsradio.com, clicking on anything that looks like Mandy Connell full schedule, and then look for that line that says Mandy's Wednesday blog, an hour and a half of radio magic is on deck. Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, the Rockies are up at 1:30 today. Hey, Grant's new podcast is up. I got an email yesterday about the IRS religion story. Blah, blah, down, down, down. Lots of writing about that. Parents are now getting arrested for fighting nonsense at school board meetings. So is Candy Sitabaka sorry about an Arvada police officer was killed in an ambush? I'm totally going to watch this dating show because how can I not? The woman behind the trash 1619 project demands tenure at a university she's never worked at. Those are the headlines on the blog at koanewsradio.com on the Mandy Connell page. And just in case any university is out there listening and wants to hire me, I'm just going to let you guys know up front, I will not come work for you unless you tell me I can never be fired from the first day I'm in the building. Okay? That's the new standard. That's it. If somebody tries to hire me away from iHeart to do a radio job, I'll say that's fine as long as I have radio tenure.
Employers are desperate these days. They might give you, lifetime tenure just to sign up.
if UNC, Nicole Hannah-Jones is the absolute train wreck behind the 1619 project from the New York Times. So much of what she created has already been proven by longtime historians to be absolute garbage. And now she is allegedly going to work at the University of North Carolina, where she graduated. She graduated from their School of Journalism. And the University of North Carolina made the big announcement. Oh, we're so excited to have someone of her stature come back to the university, blah, 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 whatever it was. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, UNC, I'm going to need tenure to walk in the door. I'm not coming without tenure. Now, if you don't understand what this means that all of the professors laboring and toiling away at the University of North Carolina for the past many years in the hopes that their tenure track will pan out and they too will be given a status which prevents them from ever being fired no matter how badly they suck at their jobs. If they gave Nicole Hannah-Jones tenure, it would create a poop storm of a like we will have never seen before, and I will enjoy every single second of it. I think tenure is an outdated concept that needs to go. Full stop. And every time I have this conversation, angry college professors want to tell me how wrong I am and how important it is. And the last time I had this conversation, it was because I read about a college professor who took a full year sabbatical with full pay to go to Africa and to, excuse me, India, and take pictures of Indian women, not gather their stories, not write a book, just take pictures of women in India. And then she came back after her paid year off and had a photo exhibit at a gallery for a week. So you paid her for a year to travel to India. Now, don't get me wrong. If I could convince iHeartMedia that I needed to travel the world for a year and still get paid, if I could pull off that crap in a New York minute, I would do it. I don't blame the player. I hate the game. Okay? I do not blame people for taking advantage of this idiocy. And tenure was put in place at a time when the dynamics on college universities were much different. And it was put in place to protect academic freedom, which is a lofty goal. They didn't want boards of trustees to find out that maybe someone was teaching evolution. And that's really, this is an actual story I read about. Someone taught evolution and the board of trustees from the college had them fired for teaching evolution at the college level. And they taught it as the theory of evolution, but they were so mad they got fired. Okay, great. Tenure precedes that, though. Tenure has long been part of a system that is allegedly designed to ensure that students are given access to viewpoints from all points of view. And we now know that the university system does not honor one entire half of the country's viewpoints when it comes to politics or anything political. We already know that that's long gone. And I mean long gone. And tenure is an outdated concept. There's no justification for things like tenure where people can't get fired even though they're horrible. And every single person who went to college had that professor that should have quit years before, but they had tenure. So they were just coasting. And their TAs did a lousy job trying to teach the class that they weren't being paid to teach. It's stupid. Yes, Dave.
Isn't it interesting that teachers screaming for tenure and dying to protect it are the same ones that deny it to their students, and freedom of speech on campus disappears more and more every day?
Correct.
For students.
Correct.
But teachers want it forever.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's gotten out of control. It's just gotten out of control. So we'll see how this works out. Nicole Hannah-Jones, I demand tenure. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I don't know which I'm hoping for, because ultimately I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't go to University of North Carolina. I don't care about Nicole Hannah-Jones, but this is going to be fun to watch, because either her bubble is going to be...
The fact that any university wants to hire her for their history department is a condemnation of that history department ipso facto.
They're not hiring her for the history department. They're hiring her for the School of Journalism.
Yeah. Investigative. What is that? Investigative journalism at a university on race.
Investigative journalism where the facts don't matter. I mean, if you're going to say she's going to teach people how to do investigative journalism, shouldn't she be held to a standard for her investigative journalism that no
they're
one is
creating a phony discipline, then hiring someone who created it to teach it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Anyway, that's on the blog. Okay, you guys, we have to talk about sexy beasts. I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch dating shows. I don't watch Married at First Sight. I don't watch any of these things. It makes me feel sad when I watch these people coming and trying to find love on television, okay? Because something's missing in their lives. They're not doing it right. I don't know. It just makes me, I don't watch these shows, but this one, I am in. I am in for Sexy Beasts. Sexy Beasts is a new dating show where real life singles sport elaborate makeup and prosthetics to put true blind date chemistry to the test. You guys, it is better than you could possibly imagine. They have one guy in full facial wolf makeup. They have a woman dressed as a porpoise. Like, her face and her head is a porpoise. They're insane. I cannot wait for this.
Okay, so this is like a real life Beauty and the Beast.
But both beasts.
You're dating the beast, except at some point they're going to take the mask off and it still might be the beast underneath.
I can't imagine that they're going to have hideously unattractive. It is TV.
I hope they will. That'll make it more fun.
Oh.
I mean, the whole concept is the personality and what's inside is more important than what's on the surface.
Sure. Yeah.
So why not have beautiful people on the inside who are hideously ugly?
I don't know. We're going to have to see.
That'd be fun to watch, don't you think?
But don't you think it would dissuade people from going on the show in the future?
Well, it wouldn't be all those. Some of them would be Prince Charming in disguise, so you never know.
Rolling the dice.
And exactly. You're also assuming that it'll get a second
for the
season.
Audience.
Oh, this is going to get a second season, Dragon. Okay? Because I am going to watch every episode, and I don't watch stuff like this, but I've got to see this. I have to see how this plays out. Because, see, if they put me in makeup, and this makeup is incredible. It's like Hollywood special effects makeup. It's not like some ham and egger slapping some stuff on. If they dress me up like this porpoise woman, I would be forced to sit down and go, like that. It just messed with people.
It's Hollywood putting the makeup on the other? It's not the makeup artists themselves? It's not like they're cosplayers that do their own stuff?
No, these are professional people putting on makeup.
I was wondering why everything looks so
perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
The dolphin and everything. Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of look like the bar scene from Star Wars, the whole thing?
Yes. colorful, but yes.
Mandy, for the last 5 years we've been doing the show on Halloween. What's my wish every Halloween?
Dave wants to be made into a werewolf, and we have not been able to make it happen yet. Maybe this is the big year. Maybe this is the year we make it happen.
I mean, that's my wish, and I want to be on this show as a werewolf. That's it.
No, you're off the market currently, Mister.
I could charm the pants off them figuratively.
You're off the market now, Mister. Can't be going on dating shows.
True.
Exactly. Not happening there. I love this though. I can't wait. I'm stoked. I'm super excited about this dumb, stupid dating show that looks awesome. My daughter loves The Masked Singer.
When does it start? And what network?
It's Netflix, so it's got to be any minute now, you know, and he could binge watch all of them. My daughter loves The Masked Singer. Have you seen this one where they have, actual singers and they wear these huge costumes and come out and sing? And at first I thought this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And now it's very enjoyable trying to figure out who the people are. And I don't know enough current pop music to get all of them, but the old people, I can get those.
What if they have a reality show that the CPA and they could figure out accounting problems on the air?
Yeah, no?
I think you just answered your own question. Like, why would we have that? Why?
I don't know. Because reality shows are a big thing. And accountants live in reality. Don't they deserve their own show?
Not everything deserves its own show. I've said, as I've watched shows about garbage truck drivers, people who work at the airport, dude who does construction. Let's see.
Parking authority people.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Watch that as well. Yeah.
About the one about people who just never throw anything away?
Hoarders.
Hoarders, yeah.
Hoarders.
I watch Hoarders to feel a little bit better about myself. I mean, I could sugarcoat it, but don't we all watch Hoarders so we can feel?
Yep.
I'm like, you know what? I've never moved a couch and found dead kittens. I'm doing better than that person. Hooray! And then I go clean out a closet and I feel really good about myself.
I might not make the cut to be on Hoarders, but I'd be in the running.
You're organized though, Dave. You don't have just piles of stuff. You have very carefully curated collections of things.
Piles that are organized, but they are piles.
Hey, we can see your carpet. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if there was a fire, you could easily exit. You don't have to make your way between, you know, stacks of newspaper, things like that.
I always have a path, always a path out.
The saddest thing about hoarders, though, honestly, is when they pull out some piece of garbage out from under the sofa and the person goes, oh my gosh, I've been looking for that. It's so special. It's like, it has a dead cat on it. Can we get rid of it now? Please? It breaks my heart.
Oh, there's my wedding dress. I haven't seen that in 30 years.
It's so sad.
Oh, you want to say
so,
that?
So sad. Excuse me, David, we have a text message. Dave, Mr. Wolf can find no better than he has now. He's not going on this show, says Sylvia. So
now, ruh-roh. Somebody's in
Sylvia,
trouble.
Sylvia is laying claim on the text line. You cannot go on a dating show. Huh. Susan, did you see this dating show, Sexy Beast?
No,
to go to the blog. You have all to go to the blog and see this. I'm so excited about this show. I can't stand it.
It's a real show?
It's a very elaborate hoax if it's not a real show, but it has to be a real show.
You know, I've never seen a Kardashian show. I can be very proud of myself about that. So
I did watch an episode of Khloe Loves. What was the Khloe and Lamar one? Khloe Loves Lamar. Wait, what was it? It was one of the, and it was accidental. I was on a plane, and you know how the live TV is there.
Oh, that doesn't count then. Yeah.
Well, but I did watch it.
Oh, well,
so
then there you go. You got
cut. I didn't turn it. I did. I watched like 20 minutes of it. It was, they were kind of cute together. I mean, considering he was a drug addict, but whatever, it's fine.
All right, I'll go on the blog and check it out.
Okay. You have to see this.
So you know how when you go to a new city and there's so many great restaurants in so little time, you just can't get to everything?
Oh, yeah.
So today is a news day like that. I have so many great stories and so few newscasts to get them in because of the Rockies game.
Yeah.
You've got to stick around for my 12:30 newscast and my 1 o'clock newscast. I'm going to tell you, it's just amazing. Like, you're going to hear from Josh Blue. You're going to hear about a conservative congresswoman coming to Colorado. You're going to hear about the Delta variant of coronavirus. I mean... Oh, and then there's a story about having sex with a horse and stuff. Oh, yeah, it's all coming your way. Yes, I'm not going to tell you which newscast that's in. You've got to stick around right here, KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
I am super annoyed that apparently Sexy Beast has been a show for a while. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's right.
Did it make it to a second season?
Well, here's the thing. It was, it had multiple seasons, but I think they were all in the UK. Right? So now
like
it's
office.
Coming back. Here, this is from a recent article. Sexy Beast is a dating show with a twist, and it originally aired on BBC 3 in the UK back in 2014. It only ran for one season with a couple of Valentine specials airing. Now it's making a comeback on Netflix, and it is coming out, blah, blah, blah. Just trying to find out. I'm July 21st. Woo! Birthday present for me right before my birthday. Got that going for me. Somebody just hit our text line. You can always text us, 56690. Mandy, off subject, but what has happened to John Morrissey, best traffic guy ever? You and I are in complete agreement. He is the best traffic guy ever. But John decided he did not want to be up in the copter anymore because it working from home, doing traffic from home, really worked well for him. And he and I had a conversation about this. So he is still doing traffic, just not for the station, because he did not want to be up in the helicopter anymore. He's done it long enough, and he figured it was time to pass the baton to someone young and awesome. And he did that. And so that's why. It's a great thing for John. He's very, very happy with his decision. He misses all of us, though, on a regular basis. So I figured I'd throw that out there. I love me some John Morrissey.
He was the best. I mean, he was a character on the show.
Yeah.
And you hung out with him in Costa Rica.
Well, yes, exactly. Come and hang out. Of course, I'm like, hey, we do this meet and greet. And we do. We do a meet and we do a kind of a Q&A session on all of the Mandy trips. And normally, because the groups are so big, there are people who have questions that they haven't had a chance to ask me during the trip. Well, this trip had 17 people on it. We all hung out all the time. I mean, there was nothing. So like the Q&A was like, hey, what's up? I mean, it was just... And I told John, I'm like, usually there are good questions during this, but I feel like because we've had such close togetherness on this trip.
So when you went on outings, did John Marcy go up ahead and tell you what the traffic was like?
No, but what's funny is he's like, well, I can't stay too late. I don't like to drive in the dark, which made me laugh, you know? But you get to a certain point in your life and you're like, yeah, I don't really want to drive at night anymore, you know? Especially after you have a few drinks, you know? You just don't want to do that. Okay, back to the blog, now that I've gotten clarity on Sexy Beast. I wonder, is Candy C. DeBacca sorry for the Arvada police officer who was ambushed and murdered? Does she feel bad? Does Tay Anderson feel responsible for the murder of a police officer? Because now we know a story just broke that apparently, I don't know if it was a manifesto or just a note that this guy left behind, letting everyone know how much he hated cops. He was searching for a cop to kill. He killed a cop. And all of the Democrats who hate the cops and have been after the police in Colorado should feel responsible, right? I mean, Dave, shouldn't we? Isn't that what we learned? Isn't if you were in Washington, D.C. as a Republican on January 6th, you're supposed to be responsible for the people who behaved badly and broke into the Capitol. It's so stupid.
It only goes in one direction. You know,
I know. And I'm actually, this is what I said in the blog, Dave. Where are the apologies from the Aurora City Council members who hate cops? I truly believe the death of Officer Gordon Beasley is their fault as much as Trump was to blame for what happened at the Capitol, because I'm not an idiot. So I'm doing this sarcastically, but I'm also making a point. This cop was targeted. He was targeted for assassination. And yet, guess what? Guess what happened this morning? This morning, a whole bunch of people, men and women who work in law enforcement, got up, put their uniforms on, strapped their equipment on, and went to work anyway, even knowing that they potentially are being hunted on the streets right now. And that atmosphere has been created by Democrats. So I'm waiting for the apologies. I looked at Candy C. DeBacca's Twitter feed to see if she had any sympathy or any. No, there was no expression of sympathy. Tay Anderson has been completely silent since May. He must be dying right now. He must be absolutely dying without his adoring Twitter fans, without his back and forth with all of his minions telling us how great he is. It must be killing him right now. But I think he's afraid that he's going to end up in jail. So maybe that's superseding his desire to be back on Twitter. I have some video from the Loudoun County School Board meeting last night in Loudoun County, Virginia. Parents are showing up. And parents are showing up in droves at school board meetings. They're showing up because they are done listening to school boards tell them that things like critical race theory are necessary to right the systemic racism in our country. They're tired of being told that their young girls could possibly be sharing a locker room and a bathroom with a biological boy who has announced that he believes he is female. They're showing up. And school boards don't know what to do with this, which really shows how lackadaisical we've gotten about our school board accountability in society. I will tell you, Douglas County parents, and I have to put myself in this category, I'm guilty of this. I moved to Douglas County because of the school board. I moved here because of that. When I got this job, not this job, but the job at KHAL, I looked at school districts. I looked at the kind of districts they had, what the schools were teaching. I did a deep dive because I had a kid who was 4 years old. I knew she was going to be in all these schools. And we moved to Douglas County before that, and I got completely complacent. And when the school board that was reform-minded got replaced by the union-run people doing it now in Douglas County, I was mortified because I let it happen. Well, I'm here to tell you, this next election cycle, you are going to be hearing endlessly about school board elections, not just in Douglas County, in Jeffco, in Denver. The entire Denver school board needs to be tossed out right now. They all knew about these accusations against Tay Anderson, and they did nothing except support his move to get school resource officers out of schools. The only accomplishment this guy has under his belt is directly related to cops and getting them out of schools. Black children still can't read and write in Denver. Just look at the test scores. But gosh, we got that SRO out. Thank God. Anyway. Hey, Dave, what was your point there, mister?
Yeah, to me, a litmus test for any school board member facing election or re-election: do you support critical race theory? And if you don't answer correctly, you don't get my vote, period. End of story.
Not only that, I mean, there's so much crap that's going on in schools. Here are my two questions right now. Will you support a ban on critical race theory in schools? Not just do you support it, will you support a ban? And here's the thing, you guys. I think that conservatives across the board, and this isn't even like a Republican thing, we have to come up and embrace curriculums that show a full view of American history, that shows the accomplishments of people who are not white and shows the areas where we got it wrong. We have to embrace a curriculum that gives a really clear picture of American history while at the same time rejecting the nonsense that critical race theory espouses. We have to do both
ironically,
of those things.
Ironically, this issue is an opportunity for parents to really strike at the teachers' union. Teachers' union traditionally says, oh, it's all for the children. It's all for the kids. Uh-uh. Well, where do you stand on this issue? And put your money where your mouth is. They can't hide on this issue. I'm glad it's coming to the fore. And like I said, any candidate is going to have to come out on that if they want to be elected.
Well, I got to tell you, over the last year, we've had kids that did not need to be home. Because the teachers' unions decided they didn't want to go back in the classroom, even though none of the science backed that up. And now I got an email from somebody saying that the Colorado Education Association is trying to get the Board of Education in Colorado to force every student to be vaccinated before they agree to come back to the classroom. You know what? You can go pound sand, keep it up, and you will have no supporters outside your union members because parents are done. Parents are sick of it. They know the science. They're tired of being told that these teachers are in grave danger when we know they're not. Children are not in grave danger from coronavirus, period. I mean, period. So we have the union is burning through any goodwill that they may still have left. And all you have to do is look at what's happening in New York City right now. New York City is as liberal as any city in the world, right? Any city in the world. They are turning against critical race theory. They're turning against the teachers' unions, keeping kids out of school. They're turning on all of these organizations. I don't want to see people turn on teachers. I want to see them turn on the teachers' union. I do. I'm done with allowing people who do not care about children to make decisions and negotiate with themselves on these school boards, which is what's happening. They spend, why do you think the school board pours $400,000 into a school board race? Why do you think the union does that? Because then they know they're negotiating their contract with their self. You know, they put in their little stooges and then they get whatever they want. And it's just, it's nuts what's happening. I'm not opposed to teachers having great pay, but I am opposed to teachers having great pay with zero accountability. I'm opposed to that.
How about the best teachers get the best pay and the worst teachers get the fewest number of dollars?
Dave, you would not believe how many teachers.
Based on performance.
Teachers do not like that because so many, this is where having a female-oriented profession is a drawback. And I'm going to explain this as a woman. And if you want to call me sexist and misogynist, go right ahead. Okay. Women tend to be collaborative animals. It's what we do. It's who we are. This is one of the reasons I have problems with a lot of women because I'm not a joiner. I'm not that person. But my female friends get great support from other women and they have organizations and they have support groups and they have these kind of collaborative feelings. They don't like the possibility that somehow one of them would be elevated in some manner over another one. And there is a pushback from many great teachers, not just the bad teachers. You'd think, oh, of course the bad teachers don't want that. But a lot of good teachers are saying, look, it creates a rift. And I'm thinking to myself, why does anybody even know what you're making? You know, why is this a topic of conversation? Why should it be? Why will it be? I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Let's remember the purpose of the union is to protect its weakest member.
Yeah.
And that's the whole concept behind a union, not its strongest member. They don't need protection from the union.
Correct.
It's the incompetents and the laggards that need the protection. And they get it. And the teachers union.
Grants, if baseball isn't your thing, we're going to the Rockies at 1:00. If that's not your thing, he's got a new podcast out. I started listening to it this morning. I miscalculated terribly this morning. Remind me to tell that story. I forgot that my trainer was coming over and I did the full 3 miles with my dog. And then the trainer showed up right after I ate breakfast. And I'm still trying not to throw up right now from working out right after I ate breakfast. I can't do it. can't do it.
But you're in wonderful shape today, I'll bet.
I'm very strong.
You feel good, I'm sure.
I'll bet.
I'm strong as an ox. See, wow. Welcome to the gun show. Yeah.
Strong like ox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I just flexed for the gut. Look at you, Dragon. Can you do a pull-up now?
I can do about 2 chin-ups where your hands are facing forward, but wow. Like 1.5 facing out.
Those are my nemesis. Yeah.
I still use a pull-up band so that I can get like 7, 8, and 9 and I can feel good about myself. Because when you do no bands and no assists, you're getting 1 and 2, you feel a little crummy. But, you know, it's still work and it's still good.
I can't do 1 yet. I still have
You'll
to do
there.
Them. I can't.
You'll get there.
I know. It is my nemesis. I'll feel like I've accomplished something when I can do that. But Grant's new podcast is outstanding. I started listening to it today. He's talking to Tom McGowan, who is the creator of All Things Good. It's a news outlet that only has good news. Super interesting. Wait, this guy is like a ray of sunshine. His entire demeanor is...
Wow.
You just want to be around him. He's one of those people. And it comes across in this podcast. And I'm only 10 minutes in. I haven't even listened to the rest of it yet.
It's really... Always look on the bright side of life.
Well, you know, taking it for granted is the name of the podcast, and it's a podcast about happiness. And Grant just has really crushed it. I mean, crushed it with this podcast. This is a really good one. I'm going to listen to the rest of it later. When we get back, you guys remember we talked about this story just a little bit. The IRS denied an application for 501c3 status from an organization, a Christian organization. And in the denial... This sentence was in the denial. The Bible teachings that they're talking about are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. This qualifies you from exemption under IRS Section 501c3. They rejected them explicitly because of their religious viewpoints. And that is absolutely unconstitutional, but not surprising. Well, I got an email from a guy yesterday named Joe. And Joe sent me an email about separation of church and state. I'm going to share it with you. And we're going to do a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of a dive into where the separation of church and state concept came from. Because you hear it all the time. And I know that a lot of people, Joe certainly did not know anything about it when he wrote this email. So I helpfully provided him a link. And I'm helpfully going to explain to you why separation of state is not what the left thinks it is. All right, we're going to do that when we get back. Susan Witkin is on deck, though. Mm-hmm. What do you have in your news? I know I don't even want to hear about the horse story, but go ahead.
Oh, I say no. Nay to the horse story.
You are nay to the horse
well
story.
Done.
Nay.
You are totally going to hear the horse story. Absolutely. And I did go on your blog, Mandy. Yes. Count me in. Sexy Beast on Netflix looks awesome.
It's coming out July 21st. I'll remind you.
I want you to know that I actually kind of wore a costume-like thing once to a bar to meet a blind date, and it went very well.
Ah!
Just
did
you
make
know.
Him Kugel?
No, we didn't get that far. Did not get that far.
Kugel gets the ring. That's what the Kugel does.
That's exactly so, right. Yeah. Put the ring on it when you get the Kugel. Okay. Though I do think the Masked Singer is awful. And I think that this
is
the same
thing. Oh, I like the Masked Singer. Yeah, I think it's silly and funny and dumb.
Ugh, you and my mother. Ugh, it's awful. Anyway.
It's silly and stupid. That's what it is.
And they don't even sing very well. Okay. Trips Ahoy and Stoneos. Cookies that look like Chips Ahoy and Oreos. Big concern for parents. And we do have more information on the suspect who killed a police officer and a Good Samaritan earlier this week in Arvada. It's all coming your way on 1 o'clock at KOA News Radio, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second abbreviated hour of the show. Real quick, got a text on the text line, 56690. I guess I missed it. Where did Grant go? And why is he not on the show anymore? Because apparently this show... is like Spinal Tap drummers, right? I mean, you know, eventually the producers either run away, cry. I'm just kidding. Grant was drafted to produce Colorado's Morning News when Reed Fisher quit. And we actually got Michael Coover, who joined the show, but he is out this week. So Dragon is in this week. So really, you know what? It's like Murphy Brown secretaries. That's what my producers are. They're just rotating.
It's the spinning wheel of producers.
You guys draw straws and you're like, oh, crap. I got
a small one this week.
Dang it.
Oh, Mandy.
Yes, Dave.
I think the other day you kind of brought me to task for wearing a certain kind of shirt.
Yes, a lumberjack shirt.
Lumberjack shirt.
Yep.
Did I miss the memo today? Because no. You seem to be wearing the shirt I was wearing the other day.
No, mine is blue and red, but I want to honor your flannel, Dave, with a flannel of my own. Got cold, put on the flannel.
Up a tree down after the show.
Exactly. Let me jump into what I'm going to talk about because we have a limited amount of time. I got 10 minutes because we got to do of the day. And yesterday I had a story about the IRS denying 501c3 status to an organization that was specifically designed to educate Christians in areas where they can be instrumental, meaning they want to talk about policy issues from a biblical perspective. And the IRS denied their application, and in denying it, put this paragraph in the denial. It says, specifically, you educate Christians in areas where they can be instrumental, including areas like the sanctity of life, the definition of marriage, biblical justice, freedom of speech, defense, and borders and immigration, and U.S. and Israel relations. The Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates. This disqualifies you from exemption under IRS Section 501c3. I mentioned this story, and I talked about the fact that the Democrats are on a full court press against religion. And I truly, truly believe this. And you need to look no further than the Democrats trying to deny the Catholic Church tax-exempt status because they are enforcing their doctrine and refusing to give communion to people who support abortion, like our president. Okay? So don't tell me I'm wrong. Look at the woman who has now attacked Jack Phillips at Masterpiece Cakes one more time by trying to get him to bake a cake for her new gender rebirth. Well, he doesn't buy that, so he's not going to do it. And God bless Jack Phillips every day of the week. He is fighting it every single day. Then I got an email from an emailer named Joe. And Joe, subject line, your story about the Bible. And then the email says, in your Bible story, you mentioned the Democrats having a war on religion. It's not a war. They're simply affirming one of the fundamental principles of our country's founding, which is the separation of church and state. Why don't you write about that and the Republicans' war on that principle, especially the issue of abortion? Okay, Joe, I will. Now, many people don't realize that the phrase separation of church and state was not uttered, at least in writing, until 1802. We know it was 1802 because it was in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Church. The church wrote to Thomas Jefferson to commend him for his stance on religious liberty. Now, what you have to understand is at that time, Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, had a state-established religion. They were Puritans first, then they became Congregationalists, but they had a state-established religion. And the people of the Danbury Baptist Church, obviously not Puritans, were concerned that this was going to spread to other areas. And they looked to Thomas Jefferson because he was rigid in not thinking that the government should be mandating people to participate in any religious services. He would never do a national day of prayer where people were forced to pray. He would never do things that codified religious practice into government, right? So they were writing him a nice letter to let him know how much they appreciated his work. And here's the kicker: keeping government out of religion, not the other way around. This is the real irony of people trying to use this letter to prove that separation of church and state means that religious people should have no impact or influence on policy. The exact opposite was what was intended by this letter. I also have information on here talking about the fact that, you know, when Connecticut, actually, I didn't put that link on there, dang it. The Danbury Baptists were worried that they were going to be shut out if a state religion was formed. That was the reality. They were worried that government was going to interfere with how they practiced their faith. And Thomas Jefferson absolutely thought it necessary to point out that government had no business in religion. And from this letter, this is part of the letter. By the way, I have a link on here that you should really click through to because it has the history of the whole letter, has the history of how it was used. It's not a founding principle at all. And it was directly meant to go one direction when now it's being used to go the other direction. I also have a letter or a link to a story about the member of the House of Representatives who decided to go to Twitter and suggest that the Catholic Church should be stripped of its tax-exempt status. And this is the funny part. This is what he tweeted out. Representative Jared Huffman, Democrat, California. He posted this. If they're going to politically weaponize religion by rebuking Democrats who support women's reproductive choice, then a rebuke of their tax-exempt status may be in order. What he's talking about right there is exactly what Thomas Jefferson was warning about. Government interfering in churches. Now, if you want to have a conversation about whether or not churches deserve tax-exempt status, we can have that conversation. I'm open. I'm really open. Because I think there are too many churches right now who are making too much money that is not being used for churchly causes. And I think that there could be a case to be made that churches should lose their tax-exempt status if they don't demonstrate that they are, you know, directly supporting their congregation or people or whatever that most churches do. So we can have that conversation. But right now, it's the law. And right now, Democrats are threatening a church that if they don't change their church doctrine, and the Catholic Church is anti-abortion, 100% fully anti-abortion. There's no wiggle room. And I know that the Pope now said, you know, it's a personal, it's not a, it's the Catholic Church, all of their doctrine says, no, you cannot, abortion is a bad thing. And the Catholic Church has the right to decide who can take communion and who cannot. It's just, it's their right to say, we're going to go ahead and exclude this. If you support abortion, if you support the killing of a child in the womb, we are not going to allow you to have communion as a Catholic in good standing. That's their right. They also have the right to say, if you're divorced, we can withhold communion. That doesn't really happen anymore, but for a long time it did. So this is not new. But the thought that somebody is going to come at me with separation of church and state while having obviously no clue anything about the separation of church and state is really frustrating, because it's become a talking point and it's become like punditry on the left. They love to throw it out with zero context. And for those of you who think that the Democrats don't have a war on religion, just keep watching. Keep watching. But the more they push, this Supreme Court, as it is composed right now, is not going to go quietly into the night. And when it comes to religious liberty versus pretty much anything else, you're going to lose. Because religious liberty is so clearly spelled out throughout the documents, throughout the Federalist Papers. It's all in there. It's why we have a country, people. That and taxation. God and taxes is why we have a country. Everything else is just, you know. One of the things that I wanted to share is there was a sentence in here, and I don't think it's in this paragraph, but where Thomas Jefferson talks about the limits of government are preventing you from harming your neighbor. In Thomas Jefferson's mind, that's the limits of government. Oh, you hurt your neighbor, government should step in. That's it. Could you imagine if the Founding Fathers came back now? Could you imagine? I really cannot. It would be absolutely insane. By the way, somebody just said, speaking of Murphy Brown, I watch that show every night and she always reminds me of you, Mandy. Is that a bad thing? I hope not. She had epic shoulder pads. Epic shoulder pads. Can we just bring back shoulder pads, please? Everyone looks good in shoulder pads, Dragon. Dragon's giving me the stink eye now. Shoulder pads are slimming. You know, you have the nice
Everyone
V.
Everyone looks ridiculous in shoulder pads.
I don't mean like Crystal Carrington from Dynasty shoulder pads.
I mean like in the 40s when Joan Crawford looked like a middle linebacker for the Giants.
That's excessive. They're coming back. They will always come back. You know why? Because
they
look
stay
good.
Away.
They look good. Just want them. I just want shoulder pads. So please, if
it's
you
not
ever
like you
have
sloped shoulders, you have broad shoulders, man.
I do, but shoulder pads give them a nice sharp clip, you know?
Clean edge.
Yes.
No.
You'll be mad when they come back. Because they all come back. They all come back. Every single thing, no matter how bad it was the first time.
That is true.
It will come back. They always. I told a friend of mine years ago, a young woman, we were talking about low-waisted jeans. Can we just all agree that low-waisted jeans look good on about 10% of the population? The rest of us walk around the entire time trying not to have a muffin top. Okay. Can we just end the charade of low waisted jeans? And I was telling her, I said, don't worry. High waisted jeans will come back. She goes, oh God, no, they won't.
Mom jeans?
Yes. Mom jeans are back.
Yeah. Yeah.
This new generation, you Gen Yers, have created a fashion statement with jeans that is just horrible. I'm not buying into that.
Every day I check out the Wall Street Journal for different things. And one of the things they cover is fashion. And some of the fashion stuff you see in there just blows your mind. And you go, other than models, who is ever going to wear this stuff on a public street?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get fashion at all. Do you?
I am not, you know me, I'm currently wearing a fashion, I currently have a blue slip-on shoes and a lumberjack shirt. So people don't generally ask me for fashion advice. I'm okay with that.
Point. Good point. Good point.
And now, because we have baseball coming up at 1:30, it's time for the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. The Rockies are taking over at 1:30, so let's jump in. We got BK. Hello, BK.
Hola.
All right. And Dragon. All right. What is our word of the day, please, Dave?
Okay, word of the day is a noun, and it is dilettante. D-I-L-E-T-T-A-N-T-E, dilettante.
Isn't that like a fancy person, kind of a hoity-toity? A guy who has a lace hanky in his sleeve, that kind of thing.
Nope, I'm not going to give you that one.
I'm thinking it's the very expensive dill pickles.
No, I think Mandy was closer.
No, I think Mandy was closer than you are, I think.
I thought it was like a member of high society.
No, that's, I think people think that, but it's actually a person who cultivates an area of interest such as the arts without any real commitment or knowledge of it. So someone who says, yeah, I know all about that stuff, and they really don't.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I could definitely be one of those in a lot of areas.
Okay, see, I was not going to say that, but whatever. I'm just going to say, well done, BK. What feature of clothing, I'm just kidding. What feature of clothing is a liripipe? L-I-R-I-P-I-P-E or liripipe? Could be a liripipe. I don't know. Liripipe.
I'm going hat. Hat.
A scarf.
Huh. No. I actually dig this.
Huh.
That long hanging tail at the end of a hood is a liripipe.
End of what kind of hood?
Like a
medieval hood. Yeah.
That hangs up front?
No, it hangs down in the back when you've got the long kind of pointy part and you pull it up and it's
like
got the long
Igor
part.
And Frankenstein had
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the long pointy part. I kind of like that.
It's pronounced Igor.
Not very prevalent.
Igor.
Seeing it in the New
Frankenstein.
York Times this week.
Frankenstein.
That's right, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Anyway, okay, what is our Jeopardy category?
Category for today is stupid answers.
All right.
Okay.
We got tons of those.
You guys always are good at this.
Nailed it.
Here we go. This waltz is the state song of Missouri.
Brandon.
Mandy.
Oh. Brandon.
What is the Show Me waltz?
No. No.
Oh.
Huh.
Oh, God.
Anyone else?
Can I guess again?
No.
No, you can't.
Because I've got two choices in my mind, and they're both stupid answers, but I've never heard of the Missouri Waltz. I'm going to say, man, what is the Missouri Waltz, Dave? Yep.
You are correct.
Yes.
That's so dumb. I like that I overthought it.
Yeah, this is a category don't overthink.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. I get it now.
Next one. In 1985, Neil Simon's Biloxi Blues premiered on Broadway at this theater. Brandon.
What is the Neil Simon Theater?
Correct. Good strategy. I think he didn't even know until he said his name, but he figured it out. Good strategy.
I've been at Neil Simon Theater.
Oop, hurry up. We got to go.
Okay, the logo of this brand depicts an arm holding a hammer.
Mandy.
Brandon.
Mandy.
What is Arm & Hammer?
Ah.
Correct.
Yep.
Complete the title of the 1993 Roddy Doyle book, Patty Clark, Ha Ha. Anyone?
Crickets.
Nothing.
Uh-uh.
What is ha?
Oh, ha, ha.
You
ha. Ha.
Ha, ha.
No faith in yourselves.
Wow.
Finally, the Prozorov sisters, Olga, Masha, and Irina are three of the characters in this play.
Say that last name again.
Olga, Masha, and Irina. Read the characters in this play.
You said the last name first, and that's the answer.
Hannah and her sisters?
The Prozorov sisters?
Yeah. No, that's not it. I'm not guessing. Okay, we got to go.
No one's guessing. What is it? What are the three sisters?
Ah, the three sisters. Basically, I won, and we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, Rockies baseball coming up next right here on KOA.